Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
The premise of my book is that leadership starts with leading yourself. And in some ways, leading yourself is really taking responsibility, becoming accountable, building that self-awareness. And when we are focused just on others, it's much easier to blame. It's much easier to remove responsibility.
What if the secret to leading others starts with leading yourself? Today, Mickey Feldman-Simon joins us to share how a winding career path, spanning continents, industries, and unexpected pivots, became the foundation for a powerful leadership framework. Mickey breaks down her core method and explores how clarity, intentional habits, self-reflection, and honest feedback can transform the way you show up in business and in life. If you've ever felt stuck in old patterns or struggled to align who you are with how you actually come across to others, this conversation is for you. Whether you're navigating a career transition, building your own business, or simply trying to show up as a better leader, Mickey offers practical tools and real-world insights you can start using right away. If you've ever wondered why good intentions don't always translate into the impact you hope for, Mickey has a framework that just might change the way you lead starting today. Now let's welcome Mickey Feldman-Simon. Mickey is an executive coach, global business leader, speaker, and author of Core Leadership, a four-step framework to lead yourself, grow your influence, and amplify your impact. Over her three-decade career, she has held leadership roles in marketing, operations, and HR across multiple industries and guided organizations through growth and successful acquisitions. In her coaching, she helps leaders align values and actions to lead with greater clarity and influence. Known for her warmth, sharp insight, and candor, she blends behavioral science with practical tools that drive lasting change. Mickey, welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you, David, for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about your career to get us started. And in particular, I'd love to hear, you know, I sort of touched on in the introduction, all of what you've done. So there's quite a lot of depth there. And I wondered if you could just, you know, share whatever you like about that. And in particular, then we could talk about some of the backstory and the transitions in your career and how that has kind of led you to where you are now.
Sure. So yeah, my career did not go in a straight line. That's how I like to describe it, but
they rarely do.
Exactly. They rarely do. And I think that though sometimes people expect them to go in a straight line and it surprises them a little bit when it goes in different ways. And I think I embraced and got excited about going in different directions at different points of my life. And I'll go back to, I studied psychology and educational counseling for my undergrad. And at the end of that degree, I was studying in Israel and you have a practicum. And we were working with mentally ill patients, and it became very clear I'm not going to be a therapist. I did not enjoy, it was very heavy for me, and I was taking it on too much, and I didn't want to take responsibility for people's lives. I kind of came back to that later on in my career. But so I went into HR. It was a great segue, still helping people in organizations. And in the first few years of my career, I was often in startups, doing HR, doing some training. I started my own company I was consulting to a few companies in HR and recruiting. And I also brought the idea of EAP, Employee Assistance Programs, to Israel. I collaborated with an Australian company. I'm Israeli, Australian, and American. That's that funny accent combination that you're hearing. So collaborating with an Australian company brought that idea over to Israel. And during that time, my husband started his own startup as well. And he was mostly in the US. And we really had no family life. On a good night, he'd be home at 11 o'clock at night. Most night it was 3 a.m. because he was working with the West Coast and we had a child. And yes, I had my own career, my own businesses, and basically a single mom. And we decided we looked at our priorities and decided to make family come first. And we moved here for 1 year. Here is Boston. And that was 28 years ago.
Oh my God.
And in some ways, that was a real pivot in my career because only after I got here did we realize that the visa that we'd had would not allow me to work here. And I had to take a break that I did not plan. I felt like I was at the peak of my career in Israel before we left that company, the EAP idea. We were just about to go into a partnership with Israel's biggest HR company. And I let that go. And it was a couple of years that I couldn't work. I kept myself busy. We had another child. And the moment that I could work, I started working for an HR company, actually a company that they just brought on an American CEO, but they had an Israeli subsidiary. And my work experience in Israel was a great advantage for them, where at first I thought it would be a disadvantage, but in that situation, it was an advantage. And I was the director of HR, the head of HR there. And we got acquired by another company. I was there for 5 years. And by the way, as the head of HR, I didn't work full time. And again, going back to my priorities, I wanted to be present for my kids as well and managed to sort of balance that with not working full time. And after that, so we were acquired and I had to think about the next step. And I was approached by a couple of people I've worked with in the past, and they were starting a new startup. They needed somebody to run the US operations and the worldwide education program. And that's how I became VP operations and business development and ran that program for the next 5 years. And from there, another company in the field that was in the same field, which was software for people with learning disabilities and people learning English, they approached me and brought me to be the head of their marketing department. And I think that in all those different situations, you think, okay, marketing now. So I did a bit of marketing before, but I really knew my strengths. So my strengths were being able to see things from other people's perspectives, really important in marketing. What is it that your customers are actually looking for? And talking to the customers. And I wasn't good at digital marketing, but I was aware of that. And I built a team where I brought in somebody who was very strong in digital marketing. I was there for a few years. And then actually came 2015, and most of our family was in Australia. And both my mother and my husband's father were really not doing well. We went back to Australia for a year. And it was a very tough year. My mum passed away. His dad was in and out of hospital. And we came back to the US and it's again, what am I going to do now? And I looked back at my strengths and my experience and decided to start a company called I'm Back at Work to help women who've taken career breaks get back into the workforce. So I had experience in marketing. I had experience in running webinars. I had taken career breaks myself, came back into the workforce. So looked into sort of all of that, what I could bring. And while I was doing that, I became a career coach. And I also was helping some companies, became their head of HR. So I was out of HR at that point for a few years. So it was a good match with helping people with their career. And then was doing coaching within the organization, became very clear that what I really enjoyed was the executive coaching. And if we go back, remember that psychology degree. So coaching really is helping people who are most of the time not mentally challenged.
But sometimes they are.
Exactly. But most of the time they're not. But it really is that more of the environment. And I feel like in some ways that's been my calling and what, and I found that fit of exactly what I was looking into. And when that company that I was heading, their HR as well, we got acquired too. And it was great. You know, of course, I knew that was coming, being part of the executive leadership team. And that was my pathway really to starting my executive coaching company, just going on my own and doing just that, which is what I've been doing for a few good years now. And out of all that work also came the book. And I think I described a lot of different segues. And
yeah. You know, Mickey, as I'm listening to these incredible threads of non-linearity, it seems so logical in hindsight how all the dots connect to where you are now. Yet I can only imagine how each one of these either plateaus or transitions must have been really challenging to navigate.
Some were more than others, I have to say. I think when I think of, let's say, the shift to the heading the marketing department, I had an extremely supportive CEO. Honestly, I took that role because of him. I knew there was a lot that I could learn from. And that was an easy one. I think, you know, the ones that I had more control over, we chatted a little bit before this recording about where you have more or less control, honestly, were easier because it's like when we moved here and I had no control over the fact that I couldn't work and I wasn't expecting it, it took a lot more adjustment. But the ones that I was more intentional on, and I was clear on my priorities, on my strengths, they were easier to navigate. And of course, there's ups and downs, especially when you're building your own business, then it's learning to ride that wave of uncertainty and enjoying the ups and knowing that when during the downs that there will be ups again.
Yeah. In one of our previous conversations, you mentioned how in that whole process, learning to lead yourself was really kind of a key thing that has been the seed for lots of other things that have come after that.
Definitely. And, you know, the premise of my book is that leadership starts with leading yourself. And in some ways, leading yourself is really taking responsibility, becoming accountable, building that self-awareness. And when we are focused just on others, it's much easier to blame. It's much easier to remove responsibility. And I found that, can I explain a little bit about CORE, what it stands for? Because I think
Absolutely.
It will be.
Yeah. I think it's quite relevant. And by the way, this is an area where, in particular, people that have come from an organizational setting to running their own business, they really struggle with some of these issues. So I think help explaining the principles would be really helpful.
So CORE is an acronym, and the C stands for clarify, the O, operationalize, the R for reflect, and the E for evaluate. So when we clarify our values, our priorities, our strengths. What does success mean for us? And that can be in life, in business, in whatever it is that you're creating. And at the end of it, you really have an understanding of who you want to be. And we talk a lot about the what, but we don't talk enough about the who. And what I found about myself and about all the coaching clients that I work with, when that who is really clear, you have purpose. Because when you're operating on your values, you suddenly, okay, you know why you're doing something. When you're really clear about your strengths, you know what you're bringing to the table. It's much easier to ask for help. It's much easier to negotiate. And it gives you confidence when you come with that sort of clear understanding of who you are, what you stand for, and what you bring. And the O is operationalizing it, meaning we have intention. Okay, what we're trying to do here really is move out of autopilot. Okay, we're always often operating, running by our old habits, our old patterns. The clarify helps us build intention. Now we're moving from that intention into action because we're all very good at talking, not quite as good in doing. And the idea here is really getting clear about the behaviors, the habits of what it is that, you know, the values, the priorities, our goals, what is that going to look like? And this is where I find that often when you're building your own business and there's less accountability to others, it's putting in those accountability measures for yourself as well. So, okay, I know what I need to do. When am I going to do it? What habits do I need to stop doing? Sometimes, by the way, that's easier to stop doing things than to start. There's also the concept of habit stacking. So I'll give you an example for myself with habit stacking. So I'm a big coffee drinker. And when we started, you know, I was drinking my espresso. And I have multiple espressos during the day. And I would go into my kitchen and I'd open the cupboard and I have a collection of mugs that are quite meaningful for me. And I would notice that on different days, I would gravitate to different mugs. And sometimes it would be the dark blue one. Sometimes it would be my colorful Marimekko mugs, all different ones. And I started asking myself, what's going on here? So I added to that moment of making coffee. Sorry, I just spilled a little bit of coffee on me. So that was what was going on here. But so I started adding to that habit. I have a habit of getting an espresso cup. A moment of awareness of asking myself, hey, what's going on here? Why are you gravitating to the dark blue mug? Often it was a rainy day. I don't love the rain. I don't like the grayness. And I was feeling a little bit depressed. But then I would stop and I'd be intentional. What do I want the day to look like? Do I want the rain and the grayness to impact me? Or I am going to add a bit of flowers to my day. It is a rainy day here, by the way, right now. Rainy, snowy. I'm not going to let the weather impact me. I am going to add some happiness, some flowers to my day. So habit stacking, taking a habit you already do and adding something else to it. And what I added to it is also part of reflect, which we're getting to the R. Reflect is how do you get in your own way? It really is understanding your self-talk, your triggers, your limiting beliefs that are holding you back. So if you think of that coffee situation, then if I didn't pause, and it's learning to pause and stop those cycles and noticing what's going on. So rain for me was depressed, low. Okay, I'm going to stop that. I am going to create something else instead. So, and I'm going to understand what's holding me back because the person we talk with the most is ourselves. We have the most conversations with ourselves. So starting to listen, is it telling you that that deal is not going to happen? Or is it telling you something positive? And when you take that little pause and you ask yourself, who do I want to be right now? You can take control of the situation. So if you think of the clarify, we were deciding who we want to be, and that the reflect in the moment, you want to ask yourself, who do you want to be right now? But sometimes you haven't done the initial work of that kind of person that you want. How do I want to show up in the moment when you're frustrated, when like, you know, it's really hard to think of who you want to be if you haven't done a little bit of that work and you can be more intentional. The evaluate, the E is evaluate, and there's two aspects to it. One, we want to see how much progress we've made. Okay, so I decided I want to do X. I have put habits, whatever, I'm reflecting, but how much progress have I made? The other part of it, we judge ourselves on our intentions. Other people judge us on our behaviors and our impact, and they don't always have the same, their intentions and our impact are not always aligned. And here we want to get feedback from people. So I may think that I'm direct. Other people may think I'm aggressive. Somebody may think that they're really funny, but other people just think that they're inappropriate. So this is really to try and understand, how do you land for other people? So is the person that you want to be, is that how you're really coming across to other people? And with that feedback, you can course correct. And it really builds trust with other people when you ask them, how can I be a better coach? How can I be a better guest, right? Sort of to really understand where it is that you need to make different changes. And that's what core, and it really is at the end. You can see about leading yourself, but when you take those steps, you show up in a much better way and as a better leader that at the end of the day, other people want to follow you. You can't shove that on people.
And for people who have gone through these steps, what kinds of results have you seen?
It's all different, right? But I think the first part is better confidence. The other part is better relationships, because I have seen so many times where people thought that they had a certain impact on their group, on their the people that they work with. Can I give a couple of examples?
Sure.
Okay. So one leader that I worked with, we'll call him Paul, executive that really was, the results were excellent, always meeting projects on time. But when you talked with his team, the high performance didn't really want to work with him. The people said they didn't like to come up to him with challenges, and that a lot of the meetings, people were quiet or meetings were very transactional. So not a great environment in their team. And whenever I work with leaders, so we do that clarifying, we work on their values as well. And what we uncovered is that he had multiple values, like we all do, of respect, achievement was very high, and collaboration. He was living by only one of his values, achievement. And when he learned that really the other values weren't coming to life, for him it was like, that's not who I want to be. So one day is this like, sometimes I high and sometimes I will shake of like, no, that's not the person I want to be. And then starting to work on the operationalizing, how is that going to look differently? What is it that holds you from behaving that way? That's a reflect. And at the end, really, I bring into it stakeholders of understanding, reaching out to them. How have I done? How am I doing? And getting their feedback so that they can continue to correct. And that helps create that change, helps them really become the leader that they want to be, and strengthens those relationships with the people around them. It also creates an atmosphere where feedback is welcome, okay? Because as a leader, if you ask for feedback, it opens it for others to give and to receive. It starts with you, usually at the top. And conversation is just starts happening in a very different way. You're changing the culture of your organization.
Yeah. Now, Mickey, you mentioned that one spends the most time talking to oneself. And we just finished talking a little bit about collaboration and how important that is. What have you found helpful in terms of collaboration and in particular interaction with peers around support, so that you're not just talking to yourself? And how has that interaction with others been helpful for you in achieving what you want success to look like?
Okay, I heard a few layers there. And I think that there's a few things that when I think of myself and when I think of how we show up, it's very easy to be judgmental, right? When we show up for others, so I think showing up with respect and curiosity. And I see curiosity as in some ways the opposite of judgment, because it's very easy to just to think like, how could they be doing that? And often when we think, we've done something like that ourselves as well. So I think coming more open, less judgy, more curious to what people are experiencing, what is going on there. We end up coming with respect, compassion. And on the other side, I think with ourselves is when we show those same values towards ourselves as well. So you mentioned the self-talk, but when we quickly judge ourselves, we're so harsh with ourselves. We're often more harsh with ourselves than with anybody else.
So true.
Right. We're our harshest critic, where we say to ourselves things we'd never say to anybody else. So trying to show that same curiosity, compassion, like, hey, what's going on for me here? I think that's helpful for us and in how we show up. And when we show up like that, we're also more open to hear from other people about their experiences. Again, more open to ask for help from the community and supporting others.
Right. So the right frame of mind when you're trying to tap into community for support can be really critical.
I can't say that enough, because it's like, look, you can go into a community and you can look around and you can say, oh my God, no, he's an idiot. She's an idiot. How could they say that? Right. Just be judgy. And it often comes from a place of insecurity as well. But when you step back and you try and again, be curious a little bit more and be honest with yourself. Because it's like, really, you have never done anything like this? Can you think of a situation where this may be true for you? I think you just, it's vulnerability, right? There's a lot there, but and I think a lot of it is also the person who, it's the people in the group, but it's somebody like you who creates this group, creating that psychological safety where it's okay to be vulnerable. And often more than okay, it's like that's the kind of relationship and meaningful relationships that you can build with a community of like-minded people.
Well said. Mickey, we've covered a lot of territory in a short amount of time. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've talked about today, get a copy of your book or any other resources you have and get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
Can I mention one other thing about the book? So it's important to mention that the book has a lot of exercises in it. So it's very practical. So any of the things that we mentioned here, whether it's your values, your self-talk, there is tools in there for you to listen, identify, work through. So it's not just theory. So if you want to dig deeper, that is really a great resource. You can follow me on LinkedIn and Mickey Feldman Simon. So Mickey, it's M-I-K-I and Feldman Simon, or my website, mickeyfeldmansimon.com. You can sign up for my newsletter and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to be in touch.
Sounds great. Well, Mickey, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. We share a little bit about your own journey and the principles that you teach and you help other people work through. My guest today has been executive coach, author, speaker, and mentor, Mickey Feldman Simon. Thank you, Mickey, for joining us.
Thank you, David, for having me on here. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.